My name is Hayden Monty. I am 12 years old.
My name is Angel Garcia. I am also 12 years old.
Today is May 20th, 2019. We are recording this interview at Mount St. Charles Academy in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. The person we are interviewing is...
Thomas Ward.
He is from...
Cumberland, Rhode Island.
He was born on...
September 1st, 1953.
He is...
65 years old.
Welcome, Tom Ward. So, tell me about your parents or grandparents. How were they like during like your house family and?
Yep. My family. Oh, are you? Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. My parents. My father was a dentist. My mother kept the home. She was a homemaker. And that was pretty normal back in those days. And we had 10 children in the family. There were 10 kids. As a matter of fact, 8 boys. We had a girl, and then 8 boys, and then a girl. And all 8 boys came to Mount St. Charles Academy, which is a record. No man has ever sent 8 kids through Mount St. Charles, except my father. So my father was a dentist in the city of Woonsocket. I grew up in the city of Woonsocket, along with all my brothers and sisters. I came to Mount, graduated in 71. A couple of my brothers a little bit older than me. Many of them were younger than me. We all came here. And so, you know, it was a big family. But back in those days, that was a bit more normal. They were bigger. 10 was pretty big. But there was a lot of families with 6 or 7 kids. There was a lot of kids back then. So we were part of what they call the baby boom generation. The baby boom was a lot of babies. People had a lot of babies after the Second World War. So that's who I am, and that was part of who we were. We all went to Catholic school and came to my
home. Okay. Did you have any best friends? And if you did, could you tell me a specific story about like when you guys had a really good time?
Yeah. My best friend growing up was Phil Cody. He was also from Mount, class of 71, and he went on to become an orthopedic surgeon. Phil was a smart one. He was the salutatorian of our class of 71. He came in second. But we played a lot of sports together at his house. At his house, we would play baseball and wiffle ball every day in the summer. We played football in the fall after school. We did all kinds of stuff. We kind of separated a little bit, maybe around the age of 14, because his family had a lake house up at Echo Lake in Burrville. So they'd go off to the lake for the summer, and we stayed home. And I usually worked. I had a paper route. I cut grass. I did things like that. But Phil was my best buddy growing up.
Do you have any, like, times where you took a vacation with your family?
Not many. Just with 10 kids, we didn't really do much of that. It was pretty normal. What happened in our family is my father and mother would go back to where they had a honeymoon up in New Hampshire every year, just for 1 week, because my father was self-employed. So if you took a week off, you didn't get paid. So he needed money, so we only took 1 week off, and they would go to New Hampshire. And 1 year, they took 3 of us to New Hampshire. So 1 year, I had a nice vacation in New Hampshire. Swimming and playing golf and doing all kinds of stuff up there, probably in the late 1960s or mid-1960s.
Yeah.
But there was no such thing as Disney back then. There was no such thing as taking family trips. We didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite subjects or favorite teachers when you were in high school?
Yes. one of my favorites was Mr. Larry Kish, who taught English. Mr. Kish was also the hockey coach at the time, so everybody knew Mr. Kish. He had he had a flat top haircut, short hair, and he was the hockey coach. So he was by the book, and he would teach us vocabulary. I remember very well that he gave you vocabulary words every week, and you had to learn them or else. You were tested every Friday with 10 words, and then the next week you had a test with 20 words, and then 30. In history, one of my favorites was Mr. Mitchell, Julian Mitchell, also a good man who had served in World War II and came home and was now a history teacher. He'd teach world history. He was wonderful. I'm trying to think of some of the brothers. I know I like some of the brothers too. I'm just can't. They're just not hitting the top of my mind right now. But the brothers were a wonderful bunch, and they were a good bunch of teachers. So maybe half of my brothers, I'm sorry, half of my teachers were probably lay teachers, and half of them were brothers. Maybe a little bit more than half. Actually, Brother Paul Lozé was a French teacher, and he passed away only a couple of years ago. He was definitely one of my favorites. He was a really good French teacher, because I had learned French in the elementary schools and really not learned much. But with Brother Lozé, I learned a lot very fast. He was a really, really good French teacher. So those are some of my favorites.
When you were my age, around 12, teenager.
What grade is that now?
We're in seventh.
Seven, okay.
So in seventh grade, about 12 years old, do you have anything that you like to do for fun or music you listen to?
Yeah, well, it was the 60s, so all the music, when I was your age, 12, that would have been 1965. The Beatles, I'm sure you've heard this over and over again, the Beatles were the thing. They came in 64, and they were huge. And they stayed huge right until 1969 or 70 when they broke up. They never went downhill. Everyone was waiting for the next thing the Beatles did. They were prolific. So the Beatles are big, but then that whole hippie, California, Beach Boys, the Mamas and the Papas, all that stuff was late in the 60s, and that was all really popular music. And then when you got into the harder rock, it was Led Zeppelin, Iron Butterfly, groups like that. That were really, they were cool too. The 60s was a great time. For music, I think, in America. A lot of it was British, but they were, it was really fun music.
What were some of your favorite activities, like, to do, like, maybe during summer?
Like I said, for the most part, I worked, because we were a big family, so I would take bikes, usually, if Phil was around, we'd go somewhere together. If Phil wasn't around, I would just go for bike rides or play baseball. Back in those days, you just go to your neighbor's house and knock on the door, and you get five or six guys together, and you go to a baseball field and knock the ball around for a few hours. So baseball was big, bike riding was big, at your age. And I had a paper route in the afternoon that I had to do every afternoon at 3 o'clock. I had to deliver 45 Woonsocket Call newspapers, so that was a little job. Back then I made about $8 or $9 a week, which seemed like good money. My father put half of it in the bank, and I get to spend the other half. But of course, back in those days, you had a big icy root beer for 15 cents, and a candy bar cost a nickel. So if you had a couple of dollars in your pocket, you could make that last a week.
Yeah. I know you said you had a big family. So what were holidays like? Were they crazy? Any times you remember from them?
Yeah, Christmas at our house was back in those days, and I don't know when it fizzled out, but we used to have midnight mass for Christmas, and it kind of fizzled away. But in our house, when we were older and we were kind of past Santa Claus, we knew Santa was, or maybe my youngest sister, we still did Santa for her, but we kept our mouth shut. We'd go to midnight mass, and then come home, and it was a big party after midnight mass from about 1 in the morning to about 4:30 in the morning, with French meat pies, pork pies we call them, they were French meat pies, and all kinds of other, cousins would come over, people would come over, it would be a big, big bunch. 4th of July, we usually went somewhere, because we didn't have a pool or anything like that, so we would either go to a lake. My mother's cousin had a lake house, so we'd go to her place on the 4th of July. Labor Day, we usually had a picnic, or one of my uncles had a picnic, and we'd go back and forth between those houses for Labor Day. That was about it, though. The rest of the time, not too much. Just a lot of biking and stuff.
Yeah. So I know you said you had a couple of jobs during the summer. It was like cutting grass and delivering a newspaper. Do you have any other hobbies, like collecting coins or anything like that?
I do collect a few coins. I wouldn't call it a big collection, but that only happened when I was older, when I was in college and stuff. I started to take an interest more in history. And you know, coin collecting really is history. Stamp collecting is history. I don't do stamp collecting. But I like collecting coins that might have a special meaning in history. I don't have some huge collection, but I do have some. It's been a long time now, it's been 50 years. Not much, but you know, back in those days you'd build model airplanes, and I'd read some. I had more time to read back then. We had to read books in the summer. We were just like you, we had maybe 5 books to read for the summer, and I read them in the last 2 days. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes as I get older, I sort of figured out maybe I shouldn't wait till the very end. So I just sit quietly and read books for 3 or 4 days until I had them all done. Back in those days, you came to school on the first day of school with your BIC reports in your hand. If you didn't have them, you were in the principal's office right out of the gate. So you had BIC reports to get back into school in September. And that meant that you had read your book. Of course, if you had any baloney on the report, they knew that the next day, so they'd be like, okay. But most kids did. You did the reading, you did a book report, and you brought them in on the first day of school.
Do you have any connections with your childhood from, like, now that you've seen as, like, a big deal?
I'm not sure I know what you mean by that.
Like, anything that you used to do in the past that you are, like, good with, that you would like to keep doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, my story was basically I was a very good artist when I was your age, but back in those days, nobody encouraged art. There was something called a starving artist. Oh, you don't want to be a starving artist. So I came to Mount and actually didn't do any art at all here. But it was in me and I didn't know it. Then I went to college and I have a degree in biology. But on my way out the door, I took a photography course because my brother owned a camera. And I really enjoyed it, and I really did well at it, and my professor was very encouraging. So long story short, I became a newspaper photographer and was good at it, and then I became a newspaper editor, and then 23 years ago, I started the Valley Breeze, which is a newspaper in this area. But that all began with art, and the message for kids back in my day was, oh, don't do art, because you can't make a living doing that. That's changed a lot now. I think people recognize the value of art. You know, I don't think your generation gets that same message minded. But mine, it was like, don't waste your time with art. So I didn't, but it was in me. So it finally came back out in college.
Do you have anything like the most important thing you've learned, like a lesson or anything that you've learned in your life that sticks with you over the years?
Yeah, I stick by the Ten Commandments, and I told my kids, I said, that's life's little list. Stick by this, and you're going to have a much happier, less complicated life. Don't steal. You think that's pretty simple, right? But a lot of people will kind of nuance that. They'll be like, well, but it's just the other guy who owns it is rich. I just took a little bit. You're not going to miss it. But that's what I told my kids. I said, that's putting an asterisk. Thou shalt not steal. You put an asterisk. Oh, but maybe in this case it's not a big deal. I told my kids, and I lived by, there are no asterisks on the Ten Commandments. It's a commandment you live by. You don't steal. You don't kill. You don't commit adultery. You don't do these things. Because they're just going to really mess up your life. And so that's what I learned them as a kid, and I've stuck by them as best I can. I'm not like anyone. I'm not perfect, but pretty close to perfect. And now I'll give you an example. I own a business, that millions of dollars come through that door every year. And I treat every customer and every customer's money like it was my own. We're honest about it. I give them exactly what they're paying for. If I screw it up, I give them their money back, because mistakes happen. But I believe very highly in moral and the highest moral and ethical standards. I learned that from my church. I learned that from Mount St. Charles. Charles. I learned that from the nuns before Mount St. Charles, and I don't equivocate on that. I think it's very important to have guardrails in your life to say there are things that you must do and you must behave well. And I don't go off those guardrails. If I do, I don't. I'm not perfect, but I mean, I don't go outside the line.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to moral and ethics.
Okay, so I think that.
And that's why they put me in the Hall of Fame here.
Hmm?
My picture's on the wall downstairs.
Yeah.
No, but it was. That was a sidebar, of course. It's a nice thing they did, but I just think it's important if you're running, like in my case, I'm running a company. And I think it's very important to be honest and honorable with every customer, to treat them fairly. And I think if you do that, the rest falls into place. Are there any other questions?
No, I think that concludes the interview. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the. Good to meet you. Good to meet both of you.
The picture.
That wasn't so bad. Oh, now the picture. I'm sweating like a pig now.